And now for reading and writing and radio.
When your friends say to you they've got something cool to do, and deep inside of you you feel a tightening like a screw, and you don't know what to do, remember, you can always back away, or better, straighten up and say, "What do you think I am, a clump of dough? I don't want to do it." The answer is no.
That poem is by Katie Grimes of Rima Mack's fourth grade at City Day School in Springfield. But you can say no, too.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Today we're talking about saying no, as Katie's poem indicates. And today I have with me Jan Grimes of Chatham, who works with reading and writing and radio off and on, and who also is Katie's mom, and Therese Clark, who is a reading and writing and radio teacher from Memorial School in Taylorville. We don't have Gerardo with us, as we said in our manual, because he was unable to come. But we do have these two, and Jan, why don't you start off on our topic?
Okay, well, I guess... I'm here for one reason, because I suggested the topic to Jack.
Right.
Katie and I have a special interest in saying no. Last spring we sat down and we were writing a book about saying no, a topic that was suggested to us as a moneymaker for a book for her school. And that's when she came up with the poem. And between us, we came up with some...
Very good poem, by the way.
Well, we came up with some other ideas. Katie did an imaginary diary entry. Dear diary, here's an episode that happened, and then she resolves it in another part of the diary. We came up with the idea of Mighty Me, a book about a character who's like a superhero, and when the character gets in trouble and does something unsafe, who saves him? Does Superman come down? No, Mighty Me, somebody within who comes through and says, no, I'm not going to do this.
What a neat idea that is. I hope that gets written. That's something if the school doesn't go on with it, why, you should, or we should.
We should.
Okay.
And then there's Zipper 7, who's a computer who helps kids practice saying no. Because Katie and I decided that one of the problems is not just knowing when you should say it, but practicing so that when the time comes, you actually come up with no, and I don't want to, and no thank you.
What's the name of that creature again?
Zipper 7.
And what does that signify, if anything?
Nothing. Katie made a computer at school with another child from City Day, Luke Radlinski, who's been on this show.
Uh-huh.
And his name was Zipper 7, so we decided he could become real and we'd computerize him.
Okay, great.
Well, Katie, in developing with me different ideas for this book, came up with an episode that occurred in her own life, in a time when she did not say no and sort of wished she had. So she gave me permission to share this on the air with you, and this is sort of in her words. One day when I was about 5 or 6, I was bored and kind of lonely. These two big boys came over and said they knew something to do that was real fun. They taught me how to pull a prank by ringing someone's doorbell and then running away. We did it to 2 houses, but then a neighbor caught us. I was the one she recognized. She said she wouldn't tell my parents if I never did it again, but I felt bad and went home and told my mom. My mom said she was glad that I was honest. She told me pranks aren't nice and don't do them anymore. I wasn't planning to. When I went back out to play, the boys were waiting for me. They wondered if I got in trouble. I wondered what I should say to them. I thought they'd call me a baby, but I told them anyway that I didn't want to do it anymore, that what we did wasn't nice, and I felt bad about it. Instead of calling me a baby, they said I was the smart one. And if their mom had caught them, they'd be in a lot of trouble. I should have said no in the first place, but at least I told them how I felt later. I'm glad I stopped pulling pranks. So Katie thought that we could share that with you. And then I just wanted to say briefly that as we were developing ideas for a book, that we decided that it really isn't as easy to say no as it sounds, and it's more than just moving your lips in that word, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really have to think and decide, and, you know, that's part of the difficulty with it. And something comes into play, something that you might have heard, you kids, called peer pressure.
Now, and peer pressure, explain what peer pressure is.
Well, I'd say it's sort of like a wave. It's being with kids, and it's a wave that carries you to be doing what they're doing.
Peer, the word peer itself, means your equals. So you're running around with your peers, your other fourth graders, if you're in fourth grade.
That's
those are
it.
Your peers.
Your parent pressure tells you what you're not supposed to do and what you better do. And kids can sometimes give you pressure by teasing you or taunting you, but at other times it's just that it's just their opinion of you. And it's also sometimes just that an activity is in motion. Somebody suggests something or somebody starts doing something, and it's a problem for you to stand out and not participate.
Even to realize that the point when it begins to get dangerous, it may not start that way.
That's right. And it's just not always
to recognize.
If you use that wave analogy, it's just not easy to hop over the wave or to see it coming, and you just suddenly are swept in with it. And you don't know how to get out of it. So it's scary either way. It's scary to be in the middle of the wave and going there, and it's scary to jump it and say, no, I'm not going to be part of this. It's hard to say no, and again, getting back to the practicing idea, we found that it helps if you can say no in little bits and pieces in your life, just sort of practice. No, I don't want to share my candy bar at lunchtime. Or no, I'm not going to climb the tree at recess because we're not supposed to. Or no, I don't want to come over today. That one's hard sometimes. You don't know how to say to a friend, I have other plans. But it does help to realize, like that character of Mighty Me, that when you say no to others, it can mean saying yes to yourself. Yes, I'm going to enjoy the Hershey bar, all of it. Or yes, I'm going to stay safe and out of trouble. Yes, I'm going to spend my free time doing what I really enjoy doing. Or
which doesn't mean that you might not enjoy going to the friends some other
that's
time,
right.
But that this particular day you don't want to go.
It doesn't feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that I'm going to be in charge of myself, and I'm going to think for myself and be what I want to be. But saying yes to yourself is easiest when you like yourself, when you are your best friend.
And that's so important. Go on.
And there's a word for feeling good about yourself, and that is self-image. And that's where I'd sort of like to pass this on to Therese Clark, who has worked with a program that helps with self-image.
Well, let's hear from Therese then.
Well, I want to tell you about Operation Snowball. It's a program that deals with awareness and prevention of drug and alcohol abuse, in the main, through education and emotional growth. Although it was started by and for teenagers, it has since reached out to junior high and elementary students. We of Operation Snowball want the kids to realize that they're special, our citizens of tomorrow, and it's okay to say no to drugs, alcohol, and other types of abuse that can be harmful to them. It's okay to be good. You don't have to follow the crowd when you know what they're doing is wrong. It's okay to say no.
Jan, you were involved in Operation Snowball, too, in Chatham.
I was.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I still have my warm fuzzy necklace.
Well, what's a warm fuzzy necklace? Therese, Jan?
Well, it involves pieces of yarn that you tie like a pom-pom. You make a pom-pom sometimes on ice skates. It's tying a bunch of pieces of yarn together that make like a little flower. And when I participated in Operation Snowball, everybody had some of these little pieces of yarn, and you wore a big necklace of yarn. And someone would come up to you and say something nice, something that fed your good self-image. And they'd give you a hug, and they'd attach a warm fuzzy to your necklace. And so you wanted to collect a necklace full, and you were being hugged and telling things, and you also were giving yours. So you were finding somebody and saying something positive and nurturing to them. That's what I remember the most.
So those would be nice things to have, and you'd get all sorts of different colors probably if yours was one, because you'd be giving away your bits and getting back other bits, and they would all represent helping people feel good about themselves.
That's right. And sometimes it's not easy to just simply say to somebody, I like you, and you're fine, especially in teenage years, and you know, at the end of grade school, too, you get into, hey, stupid, you know, just little cut downs, and it's part of the in thing, and I guess it's part of peer pressure, too, to be cool like that. But sometimes that sticks with you. Hey, klutzy. Hey, clumsy.
Yeah, or fatso, and, or things that hurt. Yeah.
The idea of the warm fuzz. That's called a cold prickly, by the way.
Hey, fatso is a cold prickly?
Or telling somebody something.
Dumbbell.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Or
cutting them down.
Glad you're late again, instead of, oh, good thing you're here, you know. That sort of thing would be a cold prickly, and the warm fuzzies help guard off.
There is an actual story about warm fuzzies and cold pricklies.
A little book or story?
A little book,
Is Operation Snowball an adult organization?
No. Adults kind of lead or help.
But it was originally a concept that teenagers had from
Illinois
Teen Institute. Mm-hmm. They had a retreat, I think, in Monticello, Illinois.
And still do each year.
That's it. And they had so they developed the idea of
they wanted to share what they'd learned up there and how they felt with kids. And so they started this organization more or less, and that's why it got the name of Snowball, because as they talked to other kids, they
got like rolling
more
a snowball and getting more and more stuck onto it.
Right.
Right.
So that a grade school group can join Operation Snowball?
A grade school group has a snowflake. It's a day-long workshop, and there's just a little bit of dealing with drugs and alcohol, just enough to let them know what the different drugs are. But it's more about feeling good about yourself and being kind to your peers and the fact that you can have fun without abusing your body.
Yeah.
Sort of helping, if peer pressure can be thought of in a positive sense, then you can have a wave of happiness and a wave of warm fuzzies happening and a wave of good ideas of things to do, going on a canoe trip or, you know,
and
how
did
things
kids
like
love
that.
It.
How did you get involved, Jan, in Operation Snowball?
I got involved by participating in an adult seminar called PACE, Preventing Abuse of Chemicals Through Education. And a group of adults were learning about drugs and learning about the self-image and peer pressure. And we thought kids should have their own time, their own retreat, when they could, again, have some of the same experience that we had. Mm-hmm. And so I just got involved in bringing it to Chatham with a lot of other really energetic people. It just has carried on from there.
Therese, how did you get involved?
Well, I have a son, Kevin, who's 23, and he's in the Army. But you can imagine how I felt 2 years ago when I found out that he was a drug addict.
Oh, gosh.
And worse than that, I learned while he was in the hospital for treatment that he had started on drugs when he was in the seventh grade.
Seventh grade?
At age 12. When I asked him why, he answered, well, because it was there and all the kids are doing it.
Peer pressure.
It's cool.
Yeah, that's peer pressure. All the kids are doing it.
But as the years went on, he used more and more kinds of drugs, and it was expensive. He stole money from me, unbeknownst to me, but little things would be missing, and from other members of the family. And it finally got to the point where he couldn't pay for his drugs. And so his life was threatened not only through the use of the drugs, but by the dealers who wanted their money. Our family received threatening phone calls. We had to have our phone unlisted. And then he asked for help, and he was one of the lucky ones.
He came himself to...
He asked for help and wanted to know where to go. And
that was when you found out about it?
Right, that's when I found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was one of the lucky ones. He didn't die from an overdose, or he didn't get into any trouble with the police, which so many of them do. But he did mess up his life for 9 years, and all because he didn't say no to something he knew was wrong. And he will tell you that now, if he were here. So I got involved with Snowball to help other kids build self-esteem, and so that I could encourage them and they could encourage each other to make responsible decisions about their lives. and to say no to the many pressures facing the kids today.
Mm-hmm. And your involvement has involved what in Taylorville? Organizing these snowflake retreats and
organizing. We started over a year ago. We had a snowflake last January for 5th and 6th graders. Then in May we had one for junior high age kids. After that, we've had follow-up activities, like a lock-in at the Y, and they could each bring a friend, or a swimming party, and they could each bring a friend, or a bowling party, and they could each bring a friend. So in this way, it has snowballed in getting more kids involved.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had an actual snowball weekend with teenagers yet, but that's coming.
That's maybe the cold weather will bring the snow
on the snowball, right?
For that snowball, yeah.
Or the parents who find out about Snowflake and then tell parents who have kids the right age. I think sometimes the concept is that you don't ask for help and you don't make plans for this kind of thing unless you're in trouble, you know?
Right.
And the idea behind Snowball and Snowflake is you want to have a good habit. You want to have good feelings now, because that's what saying no is about, is feeling good enough about yes,
right,
that you don't get into the trouble. So
Snowball
and Snowflake
comes,
is... Sure, and Snowball and Snowflake is not for people in trouble. It's not the place to go, you know, get unhooked from drugs. It's a place to just go
to
and learn about
in
yourself.
The so that you won't.
That's
get
right.
Into trouble.
As well as to, I think, practice. Practice the saying no.
Right.
Like with Zipper 7 and Mighty Me. Getting it. I think there's different techniques, film strips, and a lot of discussion at Snowball and Snowflake.
The pressure doesn't just come from peers. You get pressure from older kids, from adults, too, in drug dealing, for instance, and things like that. And there's another kind of abuse that we haven't talked about yet on this program, and that a few years ago, none of the kids listening would have heard the phrase about it's all right to say no to adults.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at this point, it's on radio spots, and it's in coloring books in the grocery store, and it's in dramas that are being played in the grade school assemblies. This is physical abuse.
The kids might be familiar with Fonzie, Henry Winkler, on the Richard Pryor show. They've had one, and Fonzie teaches the kids three important words: no, go, tell. And that goes for situations in which you're touched in ways that you don't like, and other situations in which an adult is frightening to you or scary, and the idea is that
or an older kid or an
that's
adult.
Right,
yeah.
That's right. And the idea is that if you have any uncomfortable feelings about what's happening between somebody older than you and you, what you want to do is first of all get out of the situation, say no, and then
get away from
get
there
away,
as fast as you can.
And then go tell okay. somebody
go
that
tell
you're
somebody
close to. And
that you can trust.
That's it. That's it. And even if it's a parent that's causing the problems for you, go tell then a teacher or somebody mm-hmm. else.
Or a grandparent or a counselor.
That's right. Somebody that, a priest mm-hmm. or minister, any adult that you feel you can trust. So, and that's been on the Richard Pryor show. And I know just last week or 2 weeks ago, Punky Brewster on Sunday night had a show that was not into the sexual abuse theme, but back onto drugs. And they talked about the Just Say No clubs. And Punky and her friends had felt the effects of peer pressure and you want to be part of our club. Well, here's something that we do in our club. And they started, you know, opening the bottle of aspirin that had five different colored pills in it and try one of these. And Punky didn't feel good about it and said no. And so there's that show and that program, the Just Say No clubs. And you can find out more about that through the Prevention Resource Center. And teachers would know about that Prevention Resource Center from the manual.
Yes, we've given
today.
The address mm-hmm. and what sort of resources it will supply
mm-hmm.
in
so
the
you,
manual.
You could, kids, if you're interested in forming a club about Just Say No, your teacher could call Prevention Resource Center and find out about that.
I know that practice helps, that I find myself getting snowed a lot of times with things that actually it would be nice to say yes to, but I just don't have time. And then I say yes to those things, and then I'm even more burdened. I mean, there's a kind of a snowball there for me of overwork. And there was a time a while back when I just started going around the house and shouting no to nobody in particular. I'd look in the mirror, and I'd shout no.
Well,
and
then
I'd
you made up, a printed response to people's questioning of you to do things, asking you to do things. And remember that mimeograph sheet? You were passing it out to friends even. Here's how you say no.
Test whether you should say, if you're tempted to say yes to this, why, here are all the tests.
And in your case, it wasn't dangerous problems or things that would hurt you physically, but they were draining you.
It wasn't saying yes to me because it was draining me, and mm-hmm. I wasn't having time to do restful sorts of things and recreation. I was just busy saying yes to everything. So it isn't always something harmful that you're saying.
What were some of the questions you had for yourself, some of your tests?
Well, one was, can they get along without you?
Mm-hmm.
Another one was, what's in it for you? I mean, is it just something to convenience somebody else, or would it be helpful to you?
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if they're going to pay me to do it, that's a consideration. I may not particularly want to do it or have the time to do it, but boy, you know, with a kid in college, two kids in college at this point, I may say yes to some things that'll pay me that I wouldn't otherwise. Mm-hmm. Is it going to make me feel good about myself? That would be one, too. Mm-hmm. So there were all sorts of questions, and if you can come through the battery of questions and still say yes, why then it's something you really ought to do. I'll have to haul that out and look at it again, refresh myself on practicing. Well, before we suggest our writing topics, is there anything more that you'd like to say, Therese or Jan, on this topic?
No.
And
it's okay to say no.
Right.
Well, then, as you can tell, our writing topic today will be, when have you had the courage to say no? Or when have you wanted to but didn't? Now, we hope that not many of you listeners have had or are having any drug pressures. But every kid, every one of you, is going to have had experience in not wanting to do something that others are doing or urging. Even if it's perfectly harmless, but you'd just rather, you know, stay home and read your book or go ride your bike or something like that. So what we want to know is, tell us your stories about how you have handled your no experiences. And look on the other side of it, too, at this mighty me that Jan has been telling us about. When have you been in charge of yourself? When have you been saying yes to yourself? Does that cover writing topics?
I think
sounds
so.
Good.
Or your yeses on that one?
Yes, and if you can't come up with a story on your own, if you know of a friend who struggled with no, or a brother or sister, what happened when somebody said no that you know?
Right. Okay, well, today then, tell us about your yeses and your noes.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.